Today's daf is Chul and Daf Kuf Chav Tes. We are holding on Daf Kuf Chav Tes and Beis. We are four lines from the bottom of the page. Tan Rabbanan. So we've been discussing what constitutes an Eiver in regards to Eiver Menachai. We had three Shitos in Tanaim. Exactly what constitutes an Eiver. We had the idea of whether something that is not Usa Chalipin constitutes an Eiver. That was Rabbi Yossi or Rabbi Yossi Aglili, depending which version. Rabbi Akiva said that it's Gidim Va'atzamos constitutes an Eiver, and Rabbi Paskin's Basar Gidim Va'atzamos constitutes an Eiver. It happens to be, it's interesting, the Rambam, when he Paskins this halacha, the Rambam Paskins like Rabbi, that Basar Gidim Va'atzamos is what constitutes an Eiver. That's in Sharvel Satoma Perik Beis, halacha Dalid. So the Kasha, the Kesem Mishnah asks, is that generally we have a rule in Gantz Shas that halacha Rabbi Akiva Mechavero, that we always Paskin like Rabbi Akiva whenever he's arguing on other individuals. And also, if he passes like Rabbi, he should have been Ma'id Akuva also. Okay, we'll leave that out. So the Halichos Olam, according to the Biurei Daf over here, says that just like there's a rule, Halacha K'Rabbi Akiva Mechavero, there's also a rule in Shas, Halacha K'Rabbi Mechavero. So what do you do when it's Machlokas, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi? So then you have two Klalim that contradict each other, so you have to look for some other Klal. So normally you would say, well, Ein Halacha K'Talmud B'Makom Rabbo, that Rabbi was considered like a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, not that he was a direct Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, but he was a Talmud of a Talmud, because Rabbi was a Talmud of a Meir who himself was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. But nevertheless, you wouldn't say Ein Halacha K'Talmud B'Makom Rav over here, because he wasn't really direct Talmud. He didn't learn directly from Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, it would still be wide open. So since you have two conflicting Klalei Psak, the Rambam was able to judge based on other criteria. Now, he doesn't explain exactly what that criteria was, but at least it's not against one of the Klalei Psak for the Rambam to Paskin the way he does, for the Rambam to Paskin like Rabbi. We're holding right now at the Braisa, four lines from the bottom of the page, Tanu Rabbanan. So Tanu Rabbanan, Hachotech Kezayis Basar Me Eiver Menachai. Let's say a person has Eiver Menachai and you cut off a Kezayis of Basar from the Eiver Menachai. Chadcha Va'achar Kachi Shevalov Tahar. So first you cut off the Kezayis of Basar from the Eiver Menachai, and then your chishev alav to make it an ochel, to make it a ma'at, to that you decide you want to feed it to an avid kochavim. So at that point it becomes a ma'chel in regards to Tumas Ochlim. So it's going to be Tahar. But if you first had the machshava to make it an ochel, to be machil to an avid kochavim, and then you cut it off, then you cut off the basar, then it's going to be tamei. So what's the pshat? Why should it? What's this all about? So if you look at Rashi, tahar, four lines on the bottom, ta basar aporish me'ev menachai tahar, because the halacha is that basar that comes off of Eiver Menachai is tahar. Hilkach tumas atzmo einbo. So in terms of the tumah that Eiver Menachai normally has inherently, the inherent tumah of Eiver Menachai, that doesn't exist on basar that comes from Eiver Menachai. So what other tumah do we have to contend with? What about tumas maga? Maybe he became tameh from touching the Eiver Menachai as tumas ochlin, meaning he became tameh as tumas ochlin from touching the Eiver Menachai. Yeah, but by the time it became an ochel, by the time you were choshev alav for it to become an ochel, it was no longer touching the tumah, it was no longer touching the Eiver Menachai, it had already been separated. So that's why it's going to be tar. If you only had the machshava after you cut off the basar, it's going to be tar, because the only two potential types of tumah it could be is the actual tumah of Eiver Menachai, which basar doesn't have, or the tumah of something that of tumas ochlim, which it didn't have, until which it would not have been susceptible to until you were choshev alav, but at that point it wasn't touching anything anymore. But aval chishev alav arido ba'aviv be'ever l'toras ochel va'achar kachadcho. But if while it was still attached to the Eiver, you already thought that you want to use it as a meichel, you thought of feeding it to a guy already, and then you cut it off, so kibal to me'av kodem l'chein mitum echamur shayis alava odoy v'shalim. So it was mekabel tuma. So while it was still part of the Eiver, it was part of the Eiver, so it was mitam mitum echamura. It had the full status of tuma. And k'shachadcha v'holcha l'tum echamura nishra alava kala shalo hayu lo adata. Really, while it was still attached, while the bus was still attached to the Eiver, it should have been tamei twice. Number one, it's part of Eiver Menachai, and Eiver Menachai we discussed yesterday is tamei. And number two, it's a meichel because you were already choshev alav. So once you're choshev alav and it becomes a meichel, it's touching Eivor Min HaChai. So mishum maga Eivor Min HaChai, it should have become tameh. The only thing is, while it's still attached and it has the tumah chamura of being tameh like Eivor Min HaChai itself, so it's not shaykh to say that it's also tameh as tumas ochlin. But once the tumah chamura goes away, when you cut the basar off of the Eivor Min HaChai, so the tumah chamura goes away, then it takes on the status of the tumas ochlin. Then the weaker tumah comes in and fills in the void and fills in that tumah that's now missing. Now the Rashi in the line before where I read has something interesting to say as well. On this line, Achotei Chazayis Basar Eivor Min HaChai, Rashi writes B'tol Sefto Lo Garsinam Kizayis. Rashi says that in the Tosefta we shouldn't be goreis that you're cutting a kezayis off of the Eivor Min HaChai. It must be that you're cutting off a kebetza of the Eivor Min HaChai. What's Rashi bothered by? So the Mashal explains that in order for something to become tamei, tumas ochlim, the shear is a kebetza. Aye, Shitas Rashi in all of Shas. Remember, we said that it's major machlokes Rashi Tosos throughout Shas. Shitas Rashi, for the most part, although there are plenty of steers in Rashi, Shitas Rashi, for the most part, in all of Shas, is that the sheer kibetza is only needed by Tumas Ochlin in order for food to be mitame something else. But for a food to become tame, you don't need a sheer kibetza. And over here, we're talking about the basra becoming tamei. So why is Rashi saying that you need a sheer kibetza? So he says maybe over here Rashi's being chozer, Marsha says, and he's being modded to Rabbeinu Tam that even for food to become tamei, you need a sheer kibetza. That's one way of looking at it. There are other ways of looking at it where you don't have to say Rashi is chozer. The Nezer Kodesh says that there's a big difference between different types of food. If the ochel is an ochel mamish, then even a kol shehu would be able to be mekabel tuma. But if it's not an ochel mamish mitzaratzmo, it itself is not clearly defined as a food. What makes it a food? The fact that you're a choshev alav lemeichel, that you thought, you know what, I'll use this to feed to somebody. That's what granted it the shem ochel. Maybe then Rashi would say you need a shir choshev for it to be mekabel tumas ochlin. So when it comes to something that's undeniably a food, you don't need a shear. It's already an ochel. Just the fact that it's food makes it an ochel. But when something needs machshava in order to make it a food, maybe it's only the machshava plus a shear chashuv that together combine to make it a food that's able to be matami to masochel. Maybe that's why Rashi over here insists that it be the size of kibetza. The Bir Edaf over here quotes a Lev Aryeh, who has a totally different understanding. He says, no, even if it's mashuhu, it would be able to be mekabel tumas ochlin. But where's it being mekabel the tuma from? From an aver. So in order for something to be mitame something else, in order for the aver to be mitame it, the aver itself would have to have a shear kibetza. And that's what Rashi's saying. That not that the basar needs a shir kibetza, it's that the entire aver needs a shir kibetza. Ukugon dika kibetza doesn't mean dika kibetza bebasar, that it needs a kibetza in the basar. The shir of Kabbalah's tumah could be even when the basar is a mashuhu. It's just that in the aver itself has to have a shir kibetza. Fine, that's the shita of the that's the explanation of the Lev Aryeh. Okay, so says the Gemara Vayter, Rabbi Asi lo al lebei medrasha. One day Rabbi Asi didn't show up to the Beis Medrash. He missed shir. So Ashka the Rabbi Zera, so he found Rabbi Zera. Amalei mayom bei medrasha. So you missed class, you look for the notes. So he asked Rabbi Zera, no, what did they say in the Beis Medrash today? Amalei my kashalach. He says, well, obviously you were obviously learning at home, but you must have had some kasha that bothered you. That you were hoping was addressed in the Beis Medrash, you know, instead of me going through the whole shir, why don't you just tell me what your kasha is, and I'll tell you if it was answered. So Amalei the Katani Chishev va'achar kachadchal tamei. So he says, yeah, that it's what we just said, that if you had a machshava on the basar that's attached to the aver, and then you cut the basar off, that it's going to be tamei. Well, why should it be tamei? Tumas beis hastarim hi, but tumas beis hastarim lama tamei. After all, it's only tumas beis hastarim, and the halach is that tuma in a beis hastarim is a part of something that's not exposed. So the place where the aver and the basar were attached, prior to cutting off the basar, the place where they were attached was a place that was covered up because it was attached. That was the makom of the attachment. Only once you pull it off do you expose the surface of the basar. So if it's tumas beis hastarim, it shouldn't be metame. The halacha is tumas beis hastarim is not metame. So he says that's what bothered me. Why do we say it's tame? Amalei, so he says afli didi kashali. He said, okay, I had the same kasha. V'shi'ilte l'Rabbi Abba bar Mamal, and I asked that kasha when I had it to Rabbi Abba bar Mamal. V'amrli, and Rabbi Abba bar Mamal said to me, Hamani Rabbi Meir hi damar tumas beis hastarim mitame. And he said that that's going like the sheet of Rabbi Meir, who said that tumas beis hastarim is mitame, meaning enochinami, it shouldn't be mitame. The one that says that it is mitame holds that the whole rule isn't true, that tumas beis hastarim is in fact mitame. Amr lei v'lav zimnin sagin amra kamai v'amri lei shani lei the rameir bein tuma debaya hechsher bein tuma de lo baya hechsher. He said, no, you accepted that answer. That's not a good enough answer, because even Rabbi Meir, who said that tumas beis hastarim is metame, there's a big difference between tuma that requires hechsher lekabel tuma and tuma that does not require hechsher lekabel tuma. So he says, by our mishnah, we're talking about the basar requires hechsher. We're talking about tumas. So it requires hechsher. So if it requires hechsher, and it wasn't hechsher before you cut it off, so the halach of tumas beis hastarim should apply. That tumas beis hastarim is not metame. Rav Meir only says tumas beis hastarim is metame on the type of thing that never requires hechsher in the first place. What's he talking about? What type of thing never requires hechsher in the first place? So he's talking about hechsher u'ubar b'shechitas imo. He's talking about a fetus inside its mother that it doesn't require hechsher in the first place. That the aver is tame, the aver that comes off of the uber when you cut a limb off of the uber, so that's going to be tame. Never required hechsher. That's where a mayor will say the tumas beis hastarim is metame. But in general, when something that requires hechsher and did not yet have hechsher, so that's the in such a case, everyone's going to agree. Even a mayor is going to agree. Tumas beis hastarim is not metame. So Amarava my kush yadil b'shul hechsher. Yeah, but maybe our mishnah is talking about where it was hechsher. Maybe that's when it says that it's tameh, when it was hukshar, and therefore it's like something that's low by a hechsher. It's just like the limb of the fetus, which doesn't require hechsher, because once it's hukshar, it's low by a hechsher, no longer requires hechsher. Some le rabba bar rav chanan le rava lamali hechsher hare mitami tumachamura agavaviv. He says, well, wait a second. Why should it require hechsher at all? After all, while the basar is still attached to the aver, it has the tumah chamura of the aver itself. So, and the aver itself is an avatumah. It's able to be metame adam to be metame kelim. And we learned previously in the Kuf Chav Aleph that mazraim shein sofel l'tamei tumah chamura tzarech hechsher af kol shein sofel l'tamei tumah chamura tzarech hechsher. The whole requirement of hechsher is only when something is not going to be sofel l'tamei tumah chamura. But something that one day will be metame tumah chamura will not require hechsher. So why should this? So if that's true about something that will one day be metame tumah chamura, kal v'chomer something that has already become tamei tumah chamura. Think about this basar. When do we say that something does not require hechsher if it has potential for a more significant type of tumah in the future? Kal v'chomer something that's already part of an aver. It's part of an it's a part of a tumah chamura already. So all the more so, it should not require hechsher. So why do you think that it requires hechsher over here at all? So that's the kasha. So he says. Right, he says, "Lomeli hechsher, arei mitami tumah chamura agav aviv." Answers the Gemara. There's going to be a critical phrase in this Amud. Amar lei kisheshimesh maisa eitz shimesh. That when that basar was part of the tumah chamura, it wasn't considered an ochel. It wasn't functioning as an ochel, meaning it had nothing to do with its status as of something edible that made it tameh. The reason it was tameh is because the definition of aver is basar gidim vatsamos. So this was the basar part of the basar gidim vatsamos, but it had nothing to do with the fact that it was edible. It was like an eitz. It was like a piece of wood. As long as it was just sitting there fulfilling its function, it had nothing to do with the edibility of the item. And now that you've removed the meat, now it first becomes an ochel. And therefore, says Rashi, upanim chadashos ba'ulkan. It's not like something that's sofa l'tami tumachamura, where inherently it's the same item that's going to be mitami tumachamura. Over here, granted it had already become tami tumachamura, it had already been part of something that was tami tumachamura, but it wasn't really the same item. That was when it was in a different state. Now it's upanim chadashos ba'ulkan, it's like a new beginning, a new birth, and it's not like something that was mitami tumachamura at all. That's the concept, upanim chadashos, that's the concept of maisa eitz bialma. That's going to come up. We're now going to give the upcoming Gemara is going to give five examples of where we say that where we ask Akasha and the Teretz is that it's Maisa Eitz Ba'alma, that it's totally transformed and it becomes something else entirely. Before we get to that, so we said that that Rameir holds Tumas Beis Astarim is mitame, right? We had a machlokas whether tumas beis astarim is mitame, not mitame. Pasha pshar, it's not mitame. Rameir was the das yachid that holds tumas beis astarim is mitame, and the Gemara even wanted to limit Rabbi Meir to a certain degree and say that tumas beis astarim is mitame. That's only by something that. That does not require hechsher, that tumas beis hasarim would be mitameh. Just as a reminder, Tosos a while back on Dafayin Beis, going way back, Tosos asked the Kasha, why does Rabbi Yav Bar Mamel have to say that the Brisa is going dafka like Rav Meir, that the Brisa talks about chotich basar min achai, that you cut the basar off, that it's mitameh only according to Rav Meir, holds that tumas beis hasarim is mitameh. Why don't you say that it's even going like Rabbi Yossi, and it's mitameh because at the time that you're cutting it off, at that moment it's being mekabel tum min ha'aver. Meaning when you cut one piece of meat, a piece of meat off of the aver, it's not that it was attached while it was attached, and then now it's separated, it's totally separate, it's not touching anymore. While you're doing the cutting, it's still touching. It's still touching a little bit while you're actually cutting it off. So that was Tosfos Kasha. Why would you go and say that we're dafka going like a das yachid, like Rav Meir? Say that we're going like everybody, and when you cut it off, it's still no geya b'miktsas, it's still touching partially, and that's when it's going to, and it's no longer beis astarim at that point. So Tosfos Matari said the Gemara wanted it to be, wanted the explanation to work, even in a case where it's nitas habasar, where somehow the basar just gets, you take a big meat cleaver and just like shoots right off of the Aver, where there is no moment in time where it's still partially attached. That's one Teretz of Tosos. Tosos also answers that maybe we're talking about where you cut it with a very fat knife, a very thick knife, where when, as you're slicing down, so with a thinner knife, so when you're slicing down through the thickness of the meat on top of where you've already sliced, it may still be touching. But if you have a very thick knife that is a very thick blade, as you're slicing down, it just separates more and more at the top. It's never going to be exposed and then still touch if you use a very thick knife. So maybe that's the case why we have to say that it's going like Reb Meir. The other kasha Tosfos asks is how tumas ochlin could be chal, because it's a tumah kala if after you choshev l'achila on tumas evim minachai, which is tumah chamura. Why don't we say that it's kvar sava mituma, and therefore there's no room for a tumah kala to be chal because it was already surveilled, it was already satiated with a much heavier tumah. So he says so Tosfos mitaretz that with regards to something that the tumah is ba'alo migufo, you can't say kvar sava tumah. That's only when it comes to receiving tumah from somewhere else. You could say that something that became tameh from an av is kvar sava tuma, and therefore was unaffected by a rishon touching it or something like that. But over here, it's the tuma above love mikufa. Being an aver is by definition it's an inherent tuma. So there's no such concept of kvar sava tuma when it comes to tuma that's above mikufa. Okay, so as promised, the Gemara is now going to give five other examples where we say kishashimesh maisa eitz shimesh. So number one, Amra Baye, Hare Amru Kofei Sa'or. Kupas sa'ar sheyichdel yeshiva. Let's say you have a large chunk of yeast, and after a while you decide you're not going to make that much challah. You don't really need the yeast. You might as well just harden this yeast and use it as a step, as a stool to sit on. So you decide you're going to be miyachid it as furniture to sit on in your house. So batla tumasa. So its previous tuma is batel, no longer has the status of yeast of an ochel. It's that level of tuma is gone, but it now takes on a new found type of tuma of tumas kalim, right? It now has din of a kli of something that you would sit on, and it would have that kind of tuma. Now Rashi points out sheyichdel yeshiva batla mitoras chametz ve'ino overlov bepesach. that it also doesn't have a status of chametz anymore, you wouldn't be in violation on Pesach of keeping it around the house. Mishum sa'ar lo yimatzi b'techem wouldn't be a violation of sa'ar lo yimatzi b'techem. Alma lav ochelhu. You see that it's no longer a food at all. Venasis kli. It has now become a kli. Umitama Moshe Vazav, now would have the status of Tumah of Moshe Vazav, would take on new types of Tumah, a whole new set of halachos would apply to it. Why would it be Mitama Moshe Vazav? Shrei Enom Lo'amod, V'nasam Lachtenu. The definition of what's called a Moshe in regards to Moshe Vazav is something that if you saw somebody sitting on, would you tell them, hey, get up, we need to use that, we're in the middle of using it for some work that we're doing, so then it wouldn't be a Moshe, then it's not a seat. But if you see someone sitting on it and you just let them sit on it, because that's what its function is, then that by definition is a Moshe Vazav. Now over here, you miyachid it li yeshiva. So if you see someone sitting on it, you don't say, hey, get off the yeast, we need to use it to make challah. No, you're miyachid it for yeshiva. So that tumah, the rules of tumah that apply to this block of yeast have totally been transformed from tumas ochlin to tumas kalin and tumas moshav. So says the Gemara, says Abaye, but that rule is lav da'oraisa. That idea that it's been totally transformed is not a din da'oraisa. Why? Because if it in fact were da'oraisa, matina lochan shem matame tumah chamura, then we'd have an example of food that can be matame tumah chamura. Remember, we said the whole drasha that we had earlier on in Daf Kuf Chaf Aleph was that Mazra'im she'in sofon l'tamei tumah chamura tzarech hechsher. How do we know what requires hechsher, what doesn't require hechsher? Anything that's not going to be metamei tumah chamura in the future will require hechsher, right? And what was the? How do we know that? Because the Torah spoke about zra'im, food. So just like it's pashut that food will never become tamei tumah chamura, and that's what needs hechsher, so too things that will anything else that will never become tamei tumah chamura needs hechsher. But you see, the Gemara makes an assumption that food by definition will never become tamei tumah chamura. So frekt Abaye, wait a second. According to this idea that you could take a block of yeast, turn it into a stool, and all of a sudden it's metame Moshe Vazav. What do you mean never going to become metame Tumah Chamura? It becomes metame Tumah Chamura. Of course it does. Yeast can now become a Moshe Vazav. So it must be that idea that it can become tame as a Moshe Vazav is only Darabanan, that it's not Da'oraisa. Because if it were Da'oraisa, then that whole previous drasha doesn't make sense. Answers the Gemara, no. Kishashimesh might say it's shimesh. Now, when it becomes a step stool and becomes something that is tamei Moshe Vazav, it's not food anymore. Meaning, food can never become tamei tumah chamura. Now it's considered ma'ase eitz shimesh, just an expression that means that it's totally transformed. Panim chadashos ba'ol lekan. And since it's totally transformed, we don't view it in its food state as something that will one day become tamei tumah chamura, because it won't. It will have to be transformed from a food to be tamei tumah chamura. Case number two, where we are going to use this expression, Amar Abaye, Hari Amar to Krovsav as Chom Shalochlin Mitamin Ba'Ol Tomas Alav Da'Raisa. We say if you have to Krovsav al Dazara, that is food. So we know to Krovsav al Dazara is Tame. So that Tuma that it has, that it's Mitamin Ba'Ol, just like Avod Dazara is Mitamin Ba'Ol, must not be Da'Raisa. Disal Gadai Da'Raisa Mitzin Lochem Shem Tam Tuma Chamura. Because if that Tuma was Da'Raisa, then we would have an example of food. Food that's metame tumah chamura, and the same kasha we said before that food can never be metame tumah chamura, that it can't happen, the food can't become tame tumah chamura. So again, kishishimish might say it's shimish. No, it becomes tame only when it's totally transformed, where it's viewed as a panim chadashos ba'olakan. It's not considered food anymore. What's the makar of the is of tumas to krovus of adzara? So Rashi quotes the pasuk says v'yochlu Zivchei Mesim, that Avodah Zarah is compared to a mace, that just like a mace is Metami Ba'ol, so too Avodah Zarah is Metami Ba'ol. When Abaye says that Tumah is Lav Da'oraisa, he's obviously saying that Pasuk is only Nasmachta, and it's not really a Tumah Min HaTorah, it's only Tumah Midrabanan. Now Tosfos previously said that it's Machlokas Tanaim, that Rabbi Yehuda ben Maaseh holds to Krovus Avodah Zarah is completely Hukash L'mace, it's just like a mace, and therefore it's Metami Ba'ol. Rav Chaim say that no, it is a Drasha Da'oraisa, Braisa that it's Hukash Lemeis, but that's only in regards to the Yisr Hana'a. In regards to the Tumah, it's not really learned from the Pasuk that it's Hukash Lemeis. So you don't have to say that the Pasuk is completely an Asmachta. Tulsa says, no, the Pasuk, it's Machlokas Tanaim, how seriously, how far to take the Drasha. Seriously? Everyone takes the Drasha seriously. It's not an Asmachta, it's a real Drasha. Question is, does the Drasha apply only to the Yisr Hana'a from Avodah Zarah? Just like you're not allowed to get Hana'a from Mason, not allowed to get Hana'a from Avodah Zarah? Or is the drasha also to teach me about tuma? So Abaye would come down on the side that the drasha is there only for hana, not for tuma. Example number three. Amar Abaye. Abaye says further. Hare amru chibure ochlin kikelin. Di tumasan lav kikelin damu tumasan lav daraisa. When we say chibure ochlin are like kelim, which means that let's say you have a kli that has cracks in it, and you decide to fill the cracks with little pieces of dough, and in that way you smooth out the surface of the kli by filling it with little pieces of dough. So now those pieces of dough become part of the kli to the extent that if something of a sheretz, let's say, touches those pieces of dough, the entire kli becomes tameh, because the pieces of dough have become part of the kli. They now are metameh like a kli. So it has to be that that tumah is lav d'oraisa. Why? Same reason. If it could be metameh as a kli, it could be metameh tumah chamura. So it's not just tumah sochlin. And we said that an ochel can never be metameh tumah chamura. And again, the Gemara answers, kishashimesh, maisa eitz shimesh. No, totally different issue. It's a panim chadashas ba'olakan, nothing to do with ochel being metameh tumah chamura. Example number four, first one that doesn't involve Abaye. Amar le Rav Papa le Rava. Rav Papa said to Rava, Hadatanya chelev nevela b'kfarim tzorach machshav v'hechsher. Remember, we learned yesterday that chelev of a nevela, in chelev in general, in kfarim, in villages, they don't eat chelev. Why do they not eat chelev in villages? So we have two explanations of Rashi. Either because there aren't so many people in the villages, so they don't need to eat the chelev because there's plenty of basar, or because there aren't so many rich people in the villages who could afford the chelev. But either way, it's not considered a meichel in its own right. It needs machshav and hechsher. So tumaso agav kulya, lavda oraisa, the tumah that the chelev has, agav the kidney that it's attached to, must not be daoraisa. Dis al kadech daoraisa, we've seen lochel shemitami tumah chamura. Because if it were daoraisa, then then we do find food that is subject to tumah chamura. So says Gemara, no, because shimesh may say it's shimesh. Again, the same thing. And finally, the fifth application. Amr of Masna, hare amru bayish shesichu bezraim. Tiaro tumaso lavda oraisa. When you say that, when we say that, if you take food and you use it to roof your house, you take stalks of grain or whatever, and you use it to make a roof on your house, so you are mitire it from tumas ochlin, but now it's going to be subject to whatever tumas a house is subject to. So what kind of tumah is a house subject to? A house is not makabal tumah. So there's only one kind of tumah that a house can become, and that is tumas negayim. Right? It could become tameh with tzaras. So now that food is subject to tumas tzaras. It now takes on that new status. Now tumas tzaras is an avat tumah. That's a serious level of tumah. So that must be this idea that when you use the zra'im to use as a roof of your house, that it now is no longer subject to tumas ochlim, that must be lav d'oraisa. Disal kadai tuch d'oraisa, but sinu l'zraim shem mitami tumah chamura. Because if it were d'oraisa, then it would turn out that zraim can be mitami tumah chamura. They can become your roof, and therefore they can become tameh with saras. Answers the Gemara again, same answer we've been giving. Kishishimesh maisa eitz shimesh. No, if you take food and you turn it into your roof, it's no longer food. Now it's a roof. So it's a totally panim chadashas ba'olakan, and therefore there are zero examples of ochel, which is still ochel, becoming metameh tumah chamura. Every time ochel is metameh tumah chamura, it has to go through some major transformation in order to be metameh tumah chamura. The Sefer Zos LiYitzchak, yeah, I don't know, I'm not familiar with many of this from the Tiberi Adaf quotes over here, so there's another Sefer I'm not so familiar with, but Vizos LiYitzchak, not to be confused with Zos LiYitzchak. So the Sefer Vizos LiYitzchak asks that, wait a second, he says, according to this, any schach in the world should be possible, the schach for sukkah. I mean, if you're going to say that it really is daraisa, that once you use it as a roof, so it's mekabel tumah. I'm sorry, if you're going to say if you're going to say that it's only derabanan, that it always maintains the status of ochel. So he says, or even if it's daraisa and that every roof becomes tame with the tumah chamura. So anything that's the rule is anything that's mekabel tumah is possible to use for schach, even though right now it's tahor, but every schach is roughly to be used to be built into a house, and if tsaras would come in that house, it would have tumah chamura. So that by definition, anything you're going to use as schach could be mekabel tumah. So there should be no such thing as schach, meaning every schach should be pasul. Obviously, he's not asking every schach should be pasul. He's asking why is schach kasher according to the rules of schach. The rules of schach then that's not allowed to be mekabel tumah. So he said, and the teretz of the gemara that ma'isa eitz shimesh wouldn't work over here, because over here the ikr schach is ma'isa eitz, so it wouldn't be a panim chadashos. Meaning now I'm using it as a roof on my hut, and then I would use it as a roof on my house. You can say that's called panim chadashos. No, it's not. That's the same exact usage. It's not like ochel becoming a roof. That would be panim chadashos. So what the Gemara answers in regards to the ochel wouldn't work in regards to the schach. So he's metarit bedochak. He says sheschach nifsal rak machmashu roy lekabel tuma shein biyado shel bailav l'tamo. He says maybe when we say that only that which that which is roy lekabel tuma, that which is mekabel tuma cannot be used as schach. That means that which is mekabel a kind of tuma that you can make it tame with. But negayim don't happen by us making it tame. Negayim happen by a Kodesh Baruch Hu deciding to afflict the house with tsaras. So the ability for it to become tame through that type of tuma is not going to passel it as schach. A major chiddush in the definition of what's called roi lekabel tuma in regards to schach. We have this elsewhere though, where we assume tumas negayim is sort of outside of the normal realm of roi lekabel tuma. There's halacha by ksamim. If a woman finds a stain of dam, so one of the five kulas of ksamim is that if she finds a stain of dam on something that's not mekabel tuma, so then the halacha is that she's tahara as well, because it would be weird the way Bali Atos explained it. It would be weird if she went to ask a shayla, and used to be they would care about the tuma of the kalim also. So if she went to ask a shayla, she said, "Look, I found this dam on this item." It would be strange if they would tell her, "Yeah, that item that you found the dam on is tahar, but you're tameh." What do you mean? It's the same dam. How could that be tahar and I'm tameh? So Chazal made a takana that she's not going to be tameh. Chazal never instituted the chumra of ksamim that she becomes tameh when the tumah was found in davar shein mekabel tumah. So if a woman finds a stain on a toilet bowl, happens all the time. A woman sees dam. She didn't do batika. She didn't on the toilet bowl. So all the poskim say it's mechubil karka. It's part of the bias. So anything that's mechubil karka, part of the bias, is not matam. It's not mekabel tumah. It's mekabel tumas negayim. Yeah, it doesn't count. You know, the fact that it's mekabel tumas tzaras, a house can be mekabel tumas tzaras, that doesn't count. The fact that you find it on the toilet bowl. So this isn't the only example where that's the exception. Okay, Rabbi Shimon Matar, in the Mishnah we said, at the very end of the Mishnah, Kuf Chav Zayin Beis, at the top, so we were talking about the Aver or Bustan, it's Meduldal, it's dangling off of the animal. So we said that when the animal dies, the Aver is Metami Mishum Aver Menachai, not Mishum Aver Nevela, according to our Meir. Rabbi Shimon says, it's totally Tahar. The Aver is completely Tahar. So, Frak the Gemara, what are you talking about, totally Tahar? Manavshach. If Misa is also Nipul, meaning it's considered as if it had fallen off while it was still alive, so then it should be Metami Mishum Aver Menachai. And if the Misa doesn't make it considered as if it had fallen off while it was alive, so then it's part of a Nevela. Either way, it's Tameh. So, says Rabbi Shimon, when Rabbi Shimon says Matai, he's not going on the case where the animal, the dangling limb dies, and we're discussing that limb. No, he's going on the Resha. The Resha says, "Hey, Eiver va'abasa medudal b'behema v'tami tumasochon b'mekoma nevitzrich nefsher." That while the animal's still alive and this Eiver, the basar, is dangling, so it already has the status of tumasochon and it requires hechsher. For Rabbi Shimon Mitaher. And Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's tahar. So I'm Rabbi Asi, I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why in that case would Rabbi Shimon say it's tahar? I'm a krami, kol ochel, asher yochel. Ochel shati yochel achil lacherim, kar yochel, ochel shiati yochel achil lacherim, in kar yochel. Only food that you could theoretically feed to somebody else, even to a guy, would be called an ochel. But something that's even in a chai, it's dangling from a living animal, so that's not called ochel, because you'll never be able to feed it to achirim. And that's why Rabbi Shimon holds that it wouldn't be mitameh Tumas Ochlin. Some of the Rebbe Zera Rebbe Asi, Dilma Taimit Rebbe Shimon Hassam, Hol Mu'ura Mu'ura. Maybe the reason for Rebbe Shimon is totally different. Maybe the reason Rebbe Shimon says, you don't need a pasuk. Maybe the reason Rebbe Shimon holds that the dangling limb of the animal is not going to be mitami tumas ochlin is because it's still part of the animal, it's still connected. Meaning, maybe you don't need such a strong connection for it to be considered part of the animal. Maybe you don't look at it like a piece of meat. You look at it like part of the animal. Ditanya, very similar to what we learned in Braisa, yichur shel te'ena shenifshach umu'ura beklipa. If you had a branch of a fig tree, we learned this as well previously, if you had a branch of a fig tree that has become detached, but it's still connected just by the bark alone is what's still hanging, is what's still keeping it connected to the fig tree. Rabbi Yehuda Mitar, Rabbi Yehuda says, Tar v'cham mom, and the Chum say, Im yachal l'chios tar, v'im lav tameh. The Chum say, well, if it's still connected enough that it would be able to live, so then it's tar. If it's not connected enough to be able to live, then it's going to be tameh. V'arminulach, my time is Rabbi Yehuda. We said, well, what's the svar for Rabbi Yehuda that it's always tar? V'amrutan hol mura mura. Because Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't care how connected it is. It's connected. If it's still connected, it's considered mechubel l'karka. It's still part of the bigger tree. So maybe the same thing over here. Maybe Rabbi Shimon saying over here that when you have this animal walking around with a dangling limb, the reason that dangling limb is not mitame tumas ochlin has nothing to do with roi la'achil la'achirim, not roi la'achil la'achirim. It's connected. It's part of a living animal. Living animals don't become tame. Period. So maybe that's the svara. Samalei Amtsiyasa, the Enochinami, Rabbi Shimon, when he says this drasha must be going on the Mitsiyasa of the Mishnah. What do we mean? Nishchta behema, we said in the Mishnah, in the middle part of the Mishnah, if you then shech that behema, huchshra b'demeh, divra meir. So meir holds that limb now has already become huchshra l'kabal tumah by the dam of the shechita. Rabbi Shimon omer lo huchshra. Rabbi Shimon says it doesn't become huchshra. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. Why does Rabbi Shimon hold it doesn't become huchshra, does not become huchshra l'kabal tumah by the shechita? I'm a krabi kol ha'ochel asher yochel. Simply based on that drasha, that's where we apply the drasha, that it doesn't become hukshul kabal tuma by the shechita, because only that which is roi lachil lacherim is called ochel, that which is not roi lachil lacherim is not yet called ochel. So frankly, Gemara, wait a second, we spent so much time yesterday discussing what exactly Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon disagree about in the Mitzias of the Mishnah. Remember that we had how many pshatim? Six different pshatim, I think it was, of what exactly. Six. Whatever it was, we had a lot. We had a lot of different pshatim. Yes, six different pshatim of what exactly Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Shimon were disagreeing about in that part of the Mishnah. It's interesting. We had six different pshatim, and yet when the Gemara asks, why don't you just say that one of those pshatim is correct instead of suggesting something new? The Gemara says, "V'dilma tamid Rabbi Shimon v'hi ikid Rabba ikid Rabbi Yochanan." Maybe either Rabba or Rabbi Yochanan is right. It's interesting. What about Abaye, and what about Rava, and what about, or what about Rabba, if you have the gears of Rava over here? What about Rav Papa? What about Rav Achabrid, Rav Ika? What about Rav Ashi? We had all these different explanations. But anyway, so the Gemara say, yeah, how do you know? Maybe one of the other explanations is right. El Liolam Asefa. So it must be that Rabbi Shimon's going on the seifa, meaning that when we say that that this drasha must be going on the seifa, the lava aver ela abasar, and it's not going on the aver, on the dangling aver of the mace of the animal that subsequently died. It's going on the dangling basar of an animal that subsequently died. Mesa behema habasar tzarech hechsher Rabbi Shimon mitayer. If the animal dies, the basar requires hechsher. Rabbi Shimon says it's tahar. Rabbi Yochanan, my time is Rabbi Shimon. So on that last line, Rabbi Shimon Mitayer, where Rabbi Shimon is in fact talking about that last case, so we ask, why does Rabbi Shimon say it's tahar? It's Mitayer because it's not called ochel, because it's not something that's right la'achilo la'achirim. So it should have been mitame mishum ochel, but it's not mitame mishum ochel. Meaning, what are just to get the Gemara as a whole right now. The Gemara started off by saying, Rabbi, in the very end of the Mishnah, at the very safe of the Mishnah, we said that if the animal dies on its own, the aver that dangles from it, that was dangling from it, according to Rabbi Meir, is mitameh, and according to Rabbi Shimon, is tahar. So the Gemara says, what do you mean tahar? It's either aver min achai or it's aver min ameis. How can you say tahar? Now the Gemara is finally answering that question in a satisfactory way. The Gemara is saying, he is talking about this case
It is tar. He's not talking about the aver, though. He's talking about basar. Enochinami, a dangling aver that the animal then died would either be aver menachai or aver menames. You'd have to pick your poison, whether miso sanipal or not osanipal, right? So it would be aver menachai or aver menames. That's aver of a nevela. That's no shaila. Question is, what about the basar? The basar is what Rabbi Shimon says is tar. Why is it tar? It's not an ochel. And in order to be metavit to a sochlin, something needs to be an ochel. It has to be roy lachil lacher. Okay, last mission of the parak. Ever v'habasar medudolim ba'adam. What about dangling limbs or flesh of a human being? So tahorim, it's going to be tar so long as it's dangling. Mesa adam habasar tahor. If the person dies, the basar is tahor. If you look at Rashi, mesa adam habasar medudol tahor de misa osanipul or basar aporish menachai tahor. The misa makes it as if it had fallen off while he was still alive, and basar that comes off of a living person is tahor. And this is going dafka like a particular shita in Tanaim that actually holds that way. The basa that comes off of a living person is tahar. Rabbi Shimon holds the aver is metayim shemayv menachai, not mishemayv menames, and Rabbi Shimon is metayir. So Rabbi Shimon manavshuk. What do you mean Rabbi Shimon is metayir? One way or the other, the dangling aver from the person when the person died has to be Eivir Menachai or Eivir Menames. Got to be Tamei one way or the other. So Rabbi Shimon Ba'al Makai. Rabbi Shimon is talking in more general terms. The Kamar Tanakama, he's not talking about that specific last case. Tanakama says, Hey, Eivir Metamei Shem Eivir Menachai Ben Metamei Shem Eivir Menames Alma Eivir Ames Be Alma Metamei. Tanakama says, yeah, this Eivir is going to be Metamei Shem Eivir Menachai, not Shem Eivir Menames. Which implies that in general there is such a concept of Tumas Eivir Menames. So Vamar Rabbi Shimon Eivir Ames Be Alma Lo Metamei. That's what Rabbi Shimon is talking about. No, I don't hold there is such a concept of Eiver of a mace. There's Kezayis Basar in a mace, there's Etzem Ksarim in a mace, there's all sorts of Tumah that come off a dead body. But an Eiver, the fact that something is an Eiver, does not grant it Tumah in its own right, unless it happens to have a Kezayis Basar, Etzem Ksarim, any of the other types of Tumah. But just being an Eiver doesn't work. The Tanya, Rav Elazar, Shemata Shev Menachai Metamei. The Rav Elazar says, I heard that Eiver Menachai is Metamei. Amar Rav Yeshua, Menachai v'lo min a mace. What? Eiver Menachai is Metamei, not Eiver min a mace? V'kav l'chomer. Umachai shu tar Eiver aporish menu tamei, meishu tamei lo kolchkein. Achai, a living person is tahar, and yet an Eiver that comes off of a living person is tamei. So all the more so, a dead person who's tamei, an Eiver that comes off of him should for sure be tamei. So Kasim Megillas Tainus, after all, it says in Megillas Tainus, the days that you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to fast, you're not allowed to say aspedim. Pischa ze'ira delo lemispad. It says that in Pesach Sheni, you shouldn't say aspedim. Harabah lemispad? What? So you want to make a diak that on regular Pesach, you can't say aspedim? No, el kol dekein. So chanami kol dekein. I don't know why the Gemara felt like it needed to explain what the concept of kav l'chomer meant. Meaning, I'm not sure why it needed to come up with an example. And of all things, Pesach Sheni. But, okay, it seems like a somewhat of an unnecessary line. So the Gemara says, so it's a kol shekein. If an Eiver min achai, if you tell me that an Eiver min ames, if you tell me Rav Elazar says Shemati that Eiver min achai is metame, of course Eiver min ames is metame. Amalei, kach shemati. He says, what can I tell you? This is kach shemati. That Eiver min achai is metame. Eiver min ames is not metame. Umayika bein Eiver min achai le'Eiver min ames. Let's assume they're both tame. So what's the difference in their tumah? Meaning the Mishnah had said that according to Rabbi Meir, it's this dangling limb is metame mishum Eiver min achai, not mishum Eiver min ames. Well, what's the difference between them? So kazayis basar v'atzim kasar ha'por ish me'Eiver min achai yikabinayim. Now, if meaning between them is a kazayis basar or an etzim kasar that is separated from an Eiver min achai. The tanan kazayis basar ha'por ish me'Eiver min achai. If you have a kazayis basar that's separated from an Eiver min achai, Reb Lezer metame, Reb Lezer holds it's tame, but as we quoted before, Rabbi Nechuni ben Akan of Rabbi Shua metarin, that basar that comes off of Eiver min achai, they hold it's tahar. Etzem kasar ha'porish me'Eiver min achai, Rabbi Nechuni metame, Reb Lezer Rabbi Shua metarin, and Reb Lezer Rabbi Shua are metahir. So it's different teams. Rabbi Shua is the only one that's metahir in both cases. Hashadas lachi bein tanakam le Rabbi Shimon nami kazayis basar v'etzem kasara kibinayu. And now that we say that you have this concept of kazayis basar v'etzem kasara that comes from a chai that's not metame, so maybe you could say that that's exactly the machlokas between the tanakam and Rabbi Shimon. Okay, hadron lach or varotav. It's from tomorrow. We'll start a new parak. They finish on.